Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 2nd of the new year, 10 a.m. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 80, the second paragraph, This Brings to Mind, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Stacy T., the 12 Traditions, Laura R., and the readers of the text are Dion R. and Robin P. The share ID for Wednesday, January 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,910, and for this morning's meeting, Thursday, January 2nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,914. That's 13914. And our newcomer greeter is Penny C., and our announcements coordinator is Robin P. Away preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Stacy T. to get us started and read the 12 steps. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. Stacy T., recovering compulsive overeater in Cleveland, Ohio. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely righted to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Stacy T. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. This is Laura R., and thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Mo, and I pass.
Yeah, thank you, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 80, the second paragraph down. This brings to mind, and we'll be sharing and commenting on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Dion R. to get us started. Good morning, Dion.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. Grateful to be on the line. This brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied receiving the money and used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was wrong. Oh, man, I was just thinking and meditating, like, Lord, I know somebody did that to me. But anyway, to the mall part, it brings to mind, after meditating, I was like, well, is that the same thing? No, that's not. Only thing I could think of is like using someone's secret, I guess, against them for money. And I remember, and that's still not good. That's still that's an amend I needed to make. But of course, I was in the program, and when I was advised by a group of people, not only my sponsor, but other spiritually minded people, they helped me to understand my part and how I carried the reputation of another and destroyed it. I tried to anyway. At that time, and being back just a little bit when I was a teenager, you know, and stuck in. Thank God he's brought me from, delivered me from it, and many others. And I could tell my story that, you know, being brought up from, you know, like age 10 to 19, being abused, right? Sexually abused by a church clergy. So when I told someone that nothing was happening, like, oh, okay, well, how can I use this for my benefit? You know, of course, you know, that wind away years of drinking, but up until the age of 19 or 20, I did. I used it to my benefit. I was like, well, if you do this, you're going to give me this. But at the same time, I'm steady telling the whole world, this person is wrong, he ain't no good, da 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 da. So anyway, through the program, when I became in the 12-step programs in 89, I knew eventually, it took about 10, 15 years that I had to clean up the wreckage of my past. And I can't honestly say for the last 7 to 5 years, I have not even mentioned that person's name. Or the place where I used to go, where we were made to go as kids. So I do know that the best thing I could have done for him to clean up the record to my past, when I went to my sponsor and other support people, they said, well, you're married now. Talk to your husband. I did. And I talked to him, and he said, no, Dion. This one you would not do. And I had to respect my husband at that time. But at that time, I did eventually wrote that person a letter and just said I'm forgiving them for everything they've done to me and anything I may have harmed. And that was it. It was no face-to-face because that was the best course my husband and everybody else agreed would work. And with that, I'll pass. And today I live in peace. And today when I share my story, I don't have to drudge up that and keep it going on and on and on. And that's thanks to this program, this 12-step, and all of you guys. And I'm ready to start 2020 with a new vision, as they say. And take care and be of good cheer. And I'll pass with that, Mo. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dion. Thank you for getting us started. Before I open the line up to take names, just reminding you, we're on page 80, the second paragraph. This brings to mind and comments on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share this morning?
Kristen R. Donna B.
Shlomi Chana B.
Okay, wait
Kristen
a minute. Kristen R. I got Lisa G. There was somebody before Lisa, and then Shlomi. I got you.
Donna B.
Donna B. Okay. Shlomi Chana. Okay, anyone else? Now's your time. Press star one. You can take two more. If not, I will get it started. All right, well, we'll go with those four. We have Kristen R., Lisa G., Donna B., and Shlomi Hanna G. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Mom. Thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. This paragraph says to me that there's nothing that my higher power can't handle. I don't know if I could have made the amends that I've made for the serious things that I've done without the unconditional love of my higher power. I heard yesterday on the line someone discussing how she went out and made amends without her sponsor, doing it on her own, and what a disaster it was. And when I think about making amends, I think about it in terms of not doing it alone, not doing it without my higher power. And sometimes my higher power comes to me through sponsors. So I have to do it with the sponsor. I have to do it with my higher power. Because I had to be forgiven first by my higher power before, and I had to forgive myself before I could go out and even ask somebody else who I had harmed for forgiveness. Not every amends that I've done have been, you know, wine and roses. It actually, you know, some of them have been painful. Some of them I didn't get the, you know, the response I was hoping for. But each time I did it, if I did it with a sponsor and I did it with my higher power, I grew. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about, growing closer to our higher power. Growing and even growing closer to the people around us who we, you know, may not have harmed, but who we're willing to be more open to because we've made these amends. Because each amend opens me up a little bit more. It opens me up to vulnerability. It opens me up to fear, but it also opens me up to all the ways I can grow and change and learn just by saying I'm sorry. But again, not doing it alone, not doing it without my higher power. No matter how bad I think what I've done is, there's someone out there who understands. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kristen R. Lisa G., followed by Donna B. Lisa, good morning. Happy New Year. Press star one. Lisa, I can't hear you.
Here I am, Mo. I was
there
just
you are.
Talking away.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to you, too. This is Lisa G. from Dripping Springs, Texas, and I'm going to take this a little bit different direction because I did my best to destroy the reputation of another many years ago, I was in business with my best friend, and it ended up getting bad, really bad. And she did some things to me that I was unaware of. And anyway, it was just, it was really gross. And after we ended our business relationship, our friendship ended as well. And I did everything I could to talk bad about her to other people. And you know the old saying that we say around here, you know, it's like drinking poison, hoping that another person will die. And it festered in me for a long time. And that festering, I wanted to make myself righteous. I wanted to make myself right. And even though I would say, you know, even to this day, I didn't really do her harm. She was a little bit mentally ill, which I didn't know about. And this was many, many years ago. And we were both in our own kind of diseases. But I was very passive and she was very dominant. And I allowed that, right? I allowed that, but I wanted to make myself right. And so for years, when someone would bring her up, I would say nasty things about her. And, you know, I didn't make her an amend about that, because that would have hurt her to know, you know, that would have done more harm than good. But I had to really do some work with my higher power on that, because it was disgusting what I was saying about her, and it was wrong. And, you know, it doesn't help me to talk down on somebody else. It doesn't help me. It makes me sick. And that's all I got. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lisa G. We have now Donna B, followed by Shlomi Tana G. Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Donna B. From Denver, Colorado, but calling this morning from Vero Beach. I thought I was going to say one thing, and before I share, I asked God to direct my words, and I was inspired to share on something else. My relationship with my mom. My mom was abusive, and as a parent, I feel that it is my responsibility to protect my children from her. And I have said things to them, like, if something, we call her Safta, if something Safta says doesn't sound right, it probably isn't right. When you're with Safta and I'm not there, you don't have to listen to her. You don't have to take anything she says seriously. You don't have to do anything she tells you to do. You don't have to keep any secrets she asks you to keep. And that has felt really important for me to share with my children to protect them. But on the flip side, my mother has said to me that I have poisoned my children against her. So it's a really interesting dynamic to reflect on, and it has me thinking about my prayer practice every morning and how important it is that I continue to ask God on a daily basis to direct my thinking, to direct my words, to direct my relationships with others. I can't say that at this moment I feel that the things I've said to my children are wrong, and I don't have regret or remorse for how the relationship between my children and my mom has evolved. However, that could change. I do my best to be in contact, constant contact, with a power that's greater than myself. And I do practice 10 steps as they come up. And by living in steps 10, 11, and 12, my relationships continue to evolve. And there are occasions on which I am called to make amends. Thank you for letting me share that.
And thank you, Donna B. And before I take Shlomi Tana, we're on page 80, second paragraph. This brings to mind, and we'll be able to take some more people after Shlomi. Good morning, Shlomi Tana. Press star one. Can't hear you.
Hi. Sorry about that. I was talking away. Good morning, Mo. It's wonderful to hear your voice. Second day in a row I've done this.
All right. Good morning. All right.
Okay. So thank you so much for your service. And thanks, everybody, so much for this meeting. And what kind of grabbed me was how far down we can go when we're in our disease. You know, when I'm coming back from relapse, and I can definitely say that when I was in relapse and I was in the food, I had a much bigger sense of entitlement than I do when I'm not in the food and when I'm working my program. I wasn't really able to see God's hand. I mean, I knew that God's hand was there. I knew that my higher power was there, but I could see it, but I couldn't accept it. And I expected things to go my way. And I was not able to live life on life's terms. And when I'm in my disease, that's when I can really get myself in trouble, just like this example. Thank God, you know, I haven't gone to that kind of length of ruining people. But, you know, I was really thinking about that. I have done things in the past when I was full-blown in disease that has been hurtful to people, and that could potentially, you know, cause harm to people through gossip, through saying negative things, through, you know, feeling jealous. You know, through feeling jealous and envious. And maybe not even so directly saying things about somebody, so obviously, but, you know, harm can be done in a very subtle way as well. And I can't say that that hasn't happened. And in recovery, I'm a lot more aware and accepting of the way things are and aware of the way that I feel. And I have support to work on that when I have negative feelings. And instead of taking my own negative feelings about myself or my situation out on other people, I have a program that I can use to work those negative feelings out and support in people. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomi. Hannah, so I now open the lines up for more who'd like to share.
Joe M. from Cedar Hills, Utah.
Joe
Caroline
M.
L. from Alabama.
Karen Bruce. L. was that?
Caroline.
Oh, Caroline.
Uh-huh.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Gotcha, Bruce. Any more? Oh, we're going in little groups today. All right. So I have Joe M., Caroline L., Bruce B. Is that someone else on the line wants to share?
Yeah, Ricky M.
Ricky M. I got Ricky M., and there was somebody after you, Ricky.
Margaret M., or
Margaret
N., rather.
M. Oh, N. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I got it. Joe M., Caroline L., Bruce E., Ricky M., and Margaret T. Let's go with that group. Joe M., get us started. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. Mo, thank you for your service as well as the readers. I am a compulsive eater, and this is day two of sobriety, and I'm so grateful to have found an OA sponsor who is attentive and willing to help me. I really enjoyed the reading today. And what I drew from it was that food, too, can be an intoxicant or a drug that leads us to do things that are damaging. And I experienced a divorce after almost 31 years with six beautiful children. It was completely unexpected. And looking back, I realized that food may have had a role in that divorce. And I'm so grateful for a program that allows us to rely on a higher power when we have hit rock bottom and to change. And in my particular case, obesity runs in my family, and I have two elder sisters who have not pursued OA as a course to getting healthy. They have pursued Weight Watchers, but they have hit their goals and are a great example to me. And so I am just very excited to receive the big book. It's in the mail. And I currently, with my wife, serve as missionaries in an addiction recovery program for any addictions, and it has been a great blessing to us. Therefore, the decision to be involved with a group such as this, and I want to thank those of you who have shared already. I really appreciate it, and your shares are impacting me personally. But I'm very excited to pursue this journey and have great confidence if I do my dailies and work the program, I will be successful only with the help of the God that I worship. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Joe M., and welcome. Congratulations on day two. The next person will be Caroline L. Press star one. Can't hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm Caroline. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share that I completely relate to just when being in the food, I am not present. I am not showing the love I need to loved ones. And recently, my father-in-law passed away. And with all this, I've been through the hospice time and now today's visitation. Just through it, I've been abstinent and been able to be present for my husband and support him as much as possible. And so I'm just so grateful that there's this program that will help guide me, and the structure of it will keep me in check with the tools. I've greatly helped in my phone calls with other fellows. Just their support has helped as well, and knowing that they've been it through too and abstinently, and I'm just so grateful to have that support during this time without a pass.
Well, thank you, Caroline. Bruce E., followed by Ricky M. Bruce, good morning. Happy New Year, Bruce.
Hey, it's Bruce E., and I'm an addict. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida area. Yeah, this reading here. Thanks, everybody on the line. Thanks, Mo. Yeah, yeah. Friend of mine pinned her against a salad bar and gave her a hug in Newark. And don't take that the wrong way. She gives good hugs. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great place to hug somebody. So, yeah. So this a mind about somebody, one of our friends, while drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival. Well, that right there tips you off to the fact that, guess what? This guy hates his business rival. He accepted money from him. So that sets him up right there for, he's going to get the money from the guy and get even with him for not liking him or whatever he did. And he's going to beat him out of the money. And then doesn't give him a receipt. Well, obviously, hey, you don't give you're in addiction. You don't have a receipt. Don't owe you the money. Right. So, this whole thing is a setup for a big time problem. He received the money and he used the incident as a basis for discrediting the guy. So, yeah, well, if you're going to beat the person out of the money, then you're going to discredit them. That helps you not to have so much guilt and shame about stealing from the guy. So when I was in the addiction, 20 years continuous addiction, of all types, and three different businesses. I had three clothing stores. All of them ultimately went under. And all those multiple bad relationships over that period of time, over money and everything else, you can imagine the amends I've been having to do and the problems that that caused. So in my second clothing store, I sold the business to my business partner. But we were friends. We got along good. But then I just got married. And so I told my new wife, I said, go on into the store and pick out all the clothes you want. And it's after I sold, I think it's probably the day I sold the guy the business. And she walked out with about $1,000 worth of clothes, you know, for our new marriage. And finally, ultimately, maybe 20 years later, 10 years later, I got in this program, realized that that stuff, that doesn't work. Got to do an amends on this. So I told my wife, I said, guess what, honey? I owe a guy $1,000. This is my new wife. Had a divorce from the first one. Guess what? I owe $1,000. And I stole from my partner. And she goes, oh, she says, you're just full of surprises. Now she knows we got to come up with $1,000 out of our savings account. And here she didn't even have anything to do with it. And so I sent him the $1,000. Yeah, thank you. And he called me right back. And so I called. He called me right back and said, yeah, I appreciate it. He knew I stole it. He appreciated me giving him the money. And that was a great amends. So thank you. And I pass.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce, for that story. Yeah. Next we have Ricky M., followed by Margaret N. Ricky, press star one.
Yeah, hi.
There you are.
So I couldn't hear this year so well, but the last speaker just said it clearer, so that made it really amazing. It's very interesting. So I the last year and a half we were in business and it was really hard, and there's a lot of resentments that I've been doing on my fourth step because of it. And I'm hoping that once I get closer to the ninth step and I work it through and I can make amends, that it will, you know, go smoothly. But what I do have to be careful is not to badmouth the partners that, you know, we feel have hurt us and slighted us. And being in program now just keeps me focused on, you know, what's the next right thing. When things come up or triggers happen, not to go and keep talking about it and keep, because, you know, we feel uncomfortable when we're sitting in our guilt and our shame. And the way out to you know, relieve that is just talk about the people that we feel uncomfortable about. And that's a behavior that I'm trying to work on. You know, doing my fourth step, I also got to see that, like, there's certain people I think I'm better than them. So talking about them is also a way to, you know, pick myself up. You know, the holiday weekend, there was a lot of that family politics, and I try to be better and try to make, you know, I was with a family member, and I try to be the better one. And at the party that we were at, I ate my food, everything, it was great. And then I was so triggered, and I was trying to figure out why. And I realized that. And then my sponsor was like, what can you commit to? And I was like, commit. I ate my food. What else is there to commit to? And I realized that the talking about everybody, about the people that the problems were coming up, you know, one person, the next person, was triggering me. I want to eat to make myself comfortable because I didn't enjoy that feeling when we were talking about people. So I committed that from that week, from the whole week, you know, I want to be seeing a lot of people, that anytime somebody talks about somebody else, I'm going to get up and leave. And that's what I did. I got up, went downstairs, watched movies with the kids because that's safer for me. And I felt fine. I left that party, took pictures, goodbye. And it came up again. You know, we were at another social event. And I was uncomfortable. And I'm like, why am I uncomfortable? Oh, here we go. Talk about more people. Get up, walk out. And it wasn't me being strong. It was me reaching out to my higher power and saying, please help me. You know, I want to enjoy. I want to be present. And in order to be present, I can't just not eat. I also have to not act out and talk about people and stay connected. And yeah, and the week is over now, and I'm tired. But I realize that just like someone runs a marathon and they're, you know, huffing and puffing at the end of the race, but they feel great. You know, it was a marathon, but, and I'm tired, but I feel great and connected. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ricky M.
Ricky M.
After Margaret N. shares, I'll be able to take some more names. Margaret?
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Margaret N. in Northern California. Happy to be in the meeting this morning. So thank you all for your service. And that paragraph just reminds me of the width and breadth of human emotion and action. And that really, if a human feels it or takes an action, it's a human emotion or a human action. It just reminds me that there are no superior to or less than humans. We're all humans trying to navigate this life the best way we can. And I know for me, I've navigated it very poorly when I've been in the thick of my disease. And I am much more open to the God of my understanding. My life is just much lighter and brighter than when I was in the food. But I do have, there's just this tendency that I've had for decades to either feel superior to or less than. And there is no superior to or less than. There just is. And so that really helps me stay open to my higher power and to my fellows here on earth. We're just all here together doing the best we can. And the more kind and loving I can be, the more kindness and love I'm surrounded by. And it's just the most amazing thing. And it's a totally different perspective of life than I've had, you know, previous decades. And I am extremely, extremely grateful. And it's worth every ounce of effort it takes to keep myself in the most spiritually fit condition that I can for the day to receive these incredible gifts. Us humans can go to the depths of depravity, to the, you know, highest of goodness and kindness, but it's still all human. And so here we are. And the kinder and more loving I can be to myself and to others, that has a ripple effect, just as all the negative emotions have a ripple effect. So that's it, and I just thank you all for being here. Okay, bye-bye, or I pass, rather.
Well, thank you, Margaret. All right, so we're on page 80, if you just got on the line or been just listening in. Second paragraph, this brings to mind, and I have time for about 3 or 4 more shares. Who would like to share?
This is Nikifa. I'd like to share.
Can you,
Barbara?
Can you print the first person? Nikifa?
Nikifa H.
Okay. I got it. Who was after Nikifa?
Barbara.
Barbara E. Gotcha, Barbara.
Thank you.
Laura H. from upstate New York.
Laura H. from upstate New York. Possibly one more. All right. We're having a slow January 2nd. Okay, we have Nifka. I think I've got that right. H, Barbara E., and Laura H. All right, we'll start with you,
Pedro B.
Okay, I'll put you down, Pedro, just in case. Is it Nafika? I don't know.
Yeah, you said it right the very first time you said it. Yeah, that's me. Nikifa H., compulsive overeater.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Sorry for massacring your name.
No. It's okay. You've done good.
Okay.
You've done good.
Okay.
This reading for maybe.
Oh, breaking up. breaking up.
That's not me. That's not me. That's somebody else.
All right. If it's not Nakifa, please press star one to mute your phones. All right. Go ahead. Sounds quiet now.
There we go. This made me think about. So both of my parents were drug addicts coming up, and we were left in the care of my mom, and she stole from us. She all kinds of, you know, everything that goes with somebody with a bad drug addiction. It happened to us as children coming up, and so I can remember one time. She went to jail, and I was collecting her money. So she was getting checks, and I was collecting it to bail her out. And I collected all the money, and I spent it. And then I split it between my brothers and sisters, my brother and my sister. And I sold it as, you know, well, you know, she stole from us, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I tried to make it right. And then I got co-defendants, you know what I mean? I added them to the terrible plan, and that popped in my head. And thank God, since I made amends for that years ago when I got sober. But how, I mean, man, that's terrible. And for whatever reason, when I heard the reading and heard the share, that popped in my head. But those are the things that I did, right? Everything I did to somebody, even if they helped me, you got what you deserved. You know, I'm the one that delivers consequences. And if I'm not careful, I can be very retaliatory or harmful, even in recovery. So I have to be mindful of that. So I'm grateful for that reminder. You know, that was like y'all held a mirror to my face today. And the good thing is I'm not that woman today, so that's even better. So thanks for letting me share. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Nakifa, for your share. Barbara E., followed by Laura H. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. This is Barbara. Can I be heard?
You are heard loud and clear. Thank
you. Okay. I tend to mute and unmute myself at will, or at least the machine does. Well, for me, a meaningful apology is one that communicates what I call the three R's, regret, responsibility, and remedy. A statement of regret for having caused the inconvenience, hurt, or damage, having empathy for the person I've hurt or angered, and that's the most important part of my apology. I can't just mumble, I'm sorry. And as far as having this intense hatred for someone, a coworker, another person, I can't say that I ever have had that kind of feeling. But I have so many things that I need to make amends for. And as we've spent so much time in this particular chapter, more and more pop into my head. And it's from things that I've heard you, my fellows, on the meeting say, stealing towels from my hotel, the fancy robes, being a lazy coworker, gossiping about people, when I realized that I was probably hurting the people that I gossiped to more than the person I gossiped about. I'm not going to go to the person I gossiped about and say, I'm sorry I gossiped about you, because that's going to create new wreckage. But I can go to the people that I gossip to and say, you know, I've made a change. I'm not going to be gossiping to or listening to gossip about other people anymore. And I hope you understand that this is just something I have to do for myself, because I could be changing their perception of another person by maligning someone, gossiping about someone. So rehabilitation is so important to me, and I have to make a sincere apology, and I have to not interrupt. I have to listen. I have to, if I can, say something warm and meaningful and honest to them when I'm through. And then I have to ask if they have anything more that they would like to add. Because sometimes I've made a mistake that I don't even realize I've made. But I've learned so much from you all, and I just wanted to take this time to thank you all for everything you've done for me and for the rest of us. Thank you, and I do pass.
And thank you, Barbara E. Laura H., followed by Pedro B. Laura.
Hi, it's Laura H. from upstate New York. I always say that because there used to be another Laura H. on the line. Perhaps she's not on anymore. But anyway, I was going to share something different than what I'm going to share now, but somebody shared something and the clouds parted. And thank you for the honest sharing. I, too, had two parents who were addicts. And after my father died in the disease, my mother's addiction really took off, and I suffered really terribly. So that was my justification in my act of addiction to steal from her, which I did. And you know, in all the step work I've done over the years, I've been in recovery for a while. I never acknowledged that to a sponsor. I always acknowledged what she did to me. So part of me wanted to be honest because I kept putting her on my eight-step list. And every sponsor I had, I obviously manipulated really well because they crossed her off, kept crossing her off. But, you know, there was a part of me that really wanted full recovery, and I kept putting her on the list. And she's dead now, and I didn't know what kind of amends I was going to make to her. But it was revealed a couple of years ago that she was buried in a cemetery that, basically what happened, she was in an unmarked grave. And in our religion, that's really intense. So I made the decision that I would have a footstone put in for her. And it was a journey. It took me about a year. It's a very involved story anyway. It's a very strict religious cemetery, and she was not of my father's religion. That's where she was buried, and it was a question of would they insist she be taken out of the mess. But I kept praying and persevering, and I was able to get the footstone, you know, and I felt free. I felt like this was the amends I owed her, and I realized today that my God, my merciful God, kept saying to me, there is an amends here. You don't need to remember right now or get honest about what you did, because thievery was such a part of my world and my life for many, many years that I just jumped over it. But, you know, that part of me that wanted to recover and people sharing and going to meetings, I knew there was an amends there. And I feel so complete that I really get what my part was, and that now I understand what I did, and that my denial and my justification is like cellular for me, and I have to really, really, really pay attention to that. So thank you. With that, I'll.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Laura H. Pedro, we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Hi, Mo. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How are you? Well, I just want to, minute and a half. Okay, that should be plenty of time for what I have to say. I just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. I want to express my gratitude for this meeting. And I want to express my gratitude for be willing to come back to this meeting and listen, because I relapsed. It's an interesting story. I don't have enough time to talk about the relapse. This particular paragraph, this just brings me to the fact that I have to be careful with being with lying, cheating, and stealing, you know, and ruining other person's reputation, you know, and then, you know, what it creates for me, the shame and the remorse when I lie, when I cheat, the feelings I get. I want to avoid all of that stuff from this moment on. But I'm grateful. Thank you so much, everyone, for sharing. I need this meeting. I'm working on day four today. I'm doing the best I can to cut back on sugars and starchy stuff. And you know, sounds kind of funny, cut back. We're not for an addict like me,
that's
you know.
Fine.
But thank you. Happy New Year, hi everyone. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro, and welcome back. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. We will now close the reading. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Robin P. to read a vision for you.
Thanks so much, Mo. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Happy New Year, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.